Father, we submit ourselves to you. May the gospel that we have heard penetrate our hearts and allow us to come to you to receive your grace and truth. We pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's Eve. For those of you who have made New Year's resolutions around fitness goals, you're welcome. You've gotten your first set of squats in for the new year, right? So you're ahead of the game. Good. For those of you who are not familiar with St. Andrew's or a similar style of worship, you may be surprised to come to church today and find us singing Christmas songs a week after Christmas, and not just a few, like a lot of Christmas songs, like all the Christmas songs. I love Christmas songs, so I'm excited about that, but it could be a surprise. Well, Joseph is not crazy. Traditionally in the church, Christmas is 12 days of feasting, 12 days of celebration. And if you don't remember that, you did know it, because I suspect every one of you knows the song, "On the First Day of Christmas." You may not know what all the days are, but you know there are 12 of them, right? So you remember there are 12 days of Christmas. And traditionally, on the first Sunday after Christmas Day, we celebrate, we continue celebrating with this lessons and carol service, where we let the scripture itself preach the gospel to us and the songs carry it into our hearts. I have noted that the name of the service is not Lessons and Carols and Sermon, so I will be very brief. I won't be up here for long. Don't be afraid. Do not fear, as the angels always say. My mission up here this morning is very simple. It's more of an invitation than a teaching. It's to help connect the gospel we've heard with the gospel that we are invited to come receive up here in a moment. And I want to do that by connecting it with where we are. Even though New Year's always falls within the Feast of Christmas, it doesn't often fall on Sunday. And so there's an opportunity today to frame New Year's in Christmas, which I think is something that we all need. New Year's, of course, is something that calls us to look back on the year that has been and look ahead to what is coming. That's kind of what we all bring in with us today. But as a culture, we're not that great at that kind of work. We tend to do one of two things, at least most of the time. We're busy people, and this has been a busy season. The end of the year is always busy. And many of us have learned to use busyness as a coping mechanism, right? And so as we go through the year, we have done things that we're not proud of. We have accumulated mistakes, shame and guilt, injuries, hurts, things that we have held on to. And we tend to do one of a couple of things. We tend to either stay busy enough that we're able to kind of keep those feelings behind us. We don't slow down long enough for them to catch up so that we have to deal with them. We know that if we just keep moving, that shame and guilt and pain will stay back there. But of course, we know that we need to address those things because it eventually will catch up. For some of us, we're not able to silence the pain and the guilt and those things that we've experienced in the year. The hurts that we've received, the pain that we've caused, are a constant source of worry and anxiety, something that's ever before us. And so today, we find ourselves at the end of the year invited to look back, and we find ourselves in church, thankfully, with the scriptures proclaimed in worship and in the sacraments offered. And so we have the opportunity to do something different today. Instead of hiding from these things, instead of trying to manage them, we have the opportunity to come and submit them. We have the opportunity to come and to forgive, to ask for forgiveness, to give these things over to the Lord, to give these things over in response to the good news that Christmas proclaims so boldly. The culture would have us believe that Christmas is a time of perfection, when everything's supposed to be right and okay. And when it's not, we feel it as a double injury. It's full of pictures of perfect families and perfect food. But none of us live those lives. None of us have lives that are Facebook perfect, right? So Christmas came to the people in darkness. Christmas came to people in a world where powerful people far away turned their lives upside down so that they could be richer and leaving them poorer. It came in a world where good people could find no help or hospitality in their moment of greatest need, Mary and Joseph. It came into a world where a king could command the murder of every little boy, of every baby boy in a city, and still be remembered as Herod the Great. It came into that kind of world. Christmas is the proclamation, not that everything's okay, so keep a smile on your face. Christmas comes to the broken. It comes to us, people with hurts, people who have caused hurts. Christmas is the good news that God has seen our need and responded. Christmas is like, only much greater, hearing the news that you live in a slum where everything's really hard, and the richest, most powerful guy that you know about, the guy who owns the whole area, moved in next door and put his kids in the same school as yours. He has made his problems, he's made your problems his problems. He has identified with your needs as deeply and profoundly and personally and in as costly a way as can be imagined. And that means there is incredible reason to hope. And so, we take this moment to hear that good news, that God has seen our pain, that he really does care, that he has come once, and that means he will come again, and we turn with the things we have accumulated this year. And I know many of you have kids with you, and don't worry about that. We're going to take a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be quiet, but we're just going to reflect. I want to make a little bit of space with you right now to look back and to look ahead. So just for a couple of minutes, I want to invite you, whatever shame you have from this year, ask God to show it to you. If you've been hiding from it, it may be buried deep. Things that you've done, maybe that you regret. I want to invite you to let God show you those things. Maybe you don't have to look long. But we're just going to take a minute and invite God to show you the things that you're still carrying around guilt about, shame about. You might want to write something down about it on a prayer card. Just let him show you those things. In a few minutes, we're going to come to the table, of course. I want you to continue to do this work. Continue to let God show you the things that you've not wanted to deal with, the shame and the guilt places. And when we come to the table, I want you to give those to Jesus. Stop managing them. Stop running away from them. And just give them to him. When you give him these things in repentance, he's going to give you back his body and blood broken for you. And that is the sign to you that you are absolutely, positively forgiven. Because if he would not withhold his own body, his own life, how much more is he willing to forgive? How ready is he to receive you with open arms? Forgiveness is readily available. You can be free of that guilt and that shame. So be ready to bring it to him at the table. As we know that we're ready to receive forgiveness, I want to invite you also to reflect on those places where you need to forgive. Those places where you've experienced loss and pain, where you have suffered. Maybe you're carrying anger, maybe you're carrying resentment, maybe there is a seed of unforgiveness in your heart. I invite you now to let God show you those places, to bring them to mind, the things from the last 12 months. Maybe you're avoiding them, maybe you're chewing on them every day, all day long, and they're poisoning your life. Let him show you. Let him show you these things. We have heard with clarity from the scriptures that our Lord is coming to judge the world in righteousness. Give him your need for justice. You can trust him with it. As you come to the table, hand him It may be that he is the one that you need to deal forgiveness with, right? You may have something against God for things that have happened in your life. But as you come, as you have been forgiven, allow him to work forgiveness in you. Receive him as the bread of heaven, the truth that what you need isn't vengeance, it's him. And that we are reconciled to each other through his broken body and through the whole world through his broken body. So come bringing those places and give them to him. I recognize that this work of receiving and giving forgiveness, this may just be a starting point. This may be a beginning for you in these things. But it's better to begin. But I hope that as we come and give these things to God, that we can turn and look back on the year and leave it in peace, trusting God with the things that we've carried. But we also look ahead to the new year, and as much as we've hurt and been hurt, we know that these things will happen again in the new year. And so you may have fear and anxiety about what is to come. In the same way, I now invite you to let God show you those places of fear and anxiety about the road ahead, about the year to come. Where are you carrying those things? Let God show you. Where are you afraid? As we pray and come to the altar, I invite you to ask God what it would look like to trust him with those things in concrete ways. What would it look like to give him these fears, these anxieties? But the first step, again, is to come to the table and give these things to him. Trusting not that you won't have any problems, but trusting that he is with you in all your problems, in all your sorrows, and that as sure as he came the first time, he will come again, and that we have hope. We have great hope because we believe that in Christ, all things will be well and every kind of thing will be. So gather these things up and prepare to come and submit them to the one who gave his life for us, who came incarnate in the world to be our food and drink of never-ending life. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for your people. I pray today that by your mighty Holy Spirit that rules and reigns among us, you would break chains, that you would remove lies of the enemy, that you would restore things that are lost, that places, Lord, that seem like they can't change, things that have been carried for a long time, habits of thought that are poison, Lord, that you would heal these and remove these and fill up those empty places, Jesus, with your life and with your good news, with your gospel. I pray, Jesus, that your good news, that your presence, that your rule and reign would come among us today. And Lord, that through us, your light would shine into the world. And we pray it in the powerful name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.